Thinking Man with the Golden Voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Wednesday morning, Wednesday, June the 14th, 2023. 14 minutes past the hour, 54 degrees, and mostly cloudy skies here in Marion. What a start to the show that was. I have no idea what happened there, but we lost a little bit of the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. But you know what? We improvise, and we continue on. Well, we have had a very busy week here at the station, celebrating the anniversary of WGH Talk. 9 years. My goodness. And boy, did we have guests last week. Now, some of this I'm going to repeat, because if you were listening to the show yesterday, we had Governor Ted Strickland on in hour number one talking about the whole Donald Trump situation. And then I thought we were going to have Joe Brown on today. Well, I did not know that the judge was going to call in yesterday. So in the middle of my little talk yesterday, the judge called in and we didn't get very far into that conversation. So we'll do that this morning. But it's just me and you on the toll-free line here this morning. So if there's anything you've wanted to say over the past few days where we haven't been taking phone calls, the phone lines are open this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. I am here to listen to anything you have to say today. Now, wanted to start with our guests last week, and particularly our guests on Friday's show. You know, we had Dick Cavett last Wednesday. We had Sam Donaldson and Jerry Revish on Thursday. And then Friday morning, we had David Newell, Mr. McFeely. We had Colleen Marshall. We had Sally Jesse Raphael. By the way, it was Sally Jesse's first time on this program as a guest in the nine-year history of this station. We had Phil Donahue, and we had Larry Merchant. And I just want to say that those people coming on Friday, saying the nice stuff that they said, because honestly, they don't have to say that nice stuff, was a real pleasure for me. Because, you know, honest to goodness, I'm just getting up here every morning doing this show. Now, I hope it's entertaining. I hope it's informative. I hope people get something out of it. But to have these people who are giants in the broadcast industry say the nice stuff that they did, that was really something on the whole. And, you know, Phil Donahue created the daytime talk show, the audience participation talk show. And Sally Jesse Raphael was... I believe the first woman to do an audience participation talk show. And David Newell, all the years with Mr. Rogers and all the people that he has met, and Colleen Marshall, who I've said it once, I'll say it again, I believe is the best anchor in Columbus, Ohio. Just to have everybody come on and say the nice stuff that they did, I appreciate. And I don't know what more you can say. Now, Mary Ellen Withrow came in Friday night. Now, there's another pal of this station. As many of you know, on Friday afternoon, I believe about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, former President Trump was indicted by the federal government. Now, this is historic. Whether you agree or disagree with it, it's historic. No president has ever been indicted by the federal government. And I called up Mary Ellen on Friday afternoon at about probably 3 or 4 o'clock, and I said, Mary Ellen, we're going to be doing a show tonight live, the Friday night show. Would you be willing to come in and talk about this at 8 o'clock? And she was there. Short 4-hour notice, Mary Ellen came in, did a tremendous job, as she always does, and Matt and Sean were there as well and did a tremendous job as well. So I thank Mary Ellen for coming in on Friday on short notice and giving us some first-hand perspective of what goes on in Washington and what she thought of the Donald Trump indictment. Now, let's see, what else is there to talk about? Well, you know, we've had some guests this week. How about the guest yesterday, former Governor Ted Strickland and Judge Joe Brown? Now, could you get two people who were any more directly opposed on an issue? And yesterday, yesterday it was all about the Trump indictment. And clearly, Governor Strickland had very anti-Donald Trump feelings. And clearly, Judge Joe Brown had very positive Donald Trump feelings. So I feel that we did that very fairly yesterday by giving both sides an hour to say what they needed to say. And I just kind of got out of the way and let them say what they needed to say, and I think that's the best way to do it. So I hope you enjoyed that yesterday. Now, what else here do we got to talk about? Well, last week, I got my garden planted with the help of a very, very, very nice person. Now, here's the story about this. 2 years ago, I tried to do this, and it did not go very well. I tried two tomato plants 2 years ago, and one of the tomato plants died completely. Didn't get any tomatoes out of that at all. And then the second tomato plant produced maybe 6, 8, 10 tomatoes, something like that, not nearly what it should have. And I still to this day don't know what I was doing wrong there. Well, this year I have got three different kinds of tomatoes. I have got celery, and we're going to see what happens. I've got the big boy tomatoes. I've got the Roma tomatoes. I've got the Amish tomatoes. I've got the celery. You know, I am ready to be a gardener. So we'll see how it all turns out. But as these things were being planted on Friday, a little more went into it this year than 2 years ago. I think that might have been the problem. 2 years ago, really, I just dug up some dirt and put the roots in the dirt. Now, on Friday, we used special dirt. We used a little bit of, I don't know if it was Miracle-Gro or what it was, but a little bit of a solution. We used water from an undisturbed area. So this could completely turn around my garden this year. So I'm excited to see how this goes, and I'll give you updates as time goes on. Now, has anybody else planted their garden? Anybody else making any progress with that? Give me a buzz here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, Monday night, there's so much to talk about because we've had guests on all week. So much to talk about here. Monday night, I did something. You know, a lot of times I like to eat out. Now, when you live alone, unless you have somebody over, you really don't do a lot of cooking because it's just you. So you tend to either eat out or cook something very simple. Well, Monday, I decided that I was going to, I had a sirloin steak. Well, I had some sirloin steaks. I decided to put some sirloin steaks on the grill, and I made, and I'm not a big fan of potatoes, to be honest with you. I know that's very strange. I'm not a big fan of potatoes. But I made this potato concoction that went over very well. It's diced tomatoes, and I use green peppers, red peppers, and yellow peppers, all diced up. Butter, and then I put some spices in there that I'm not going to tell. You know, because you've got to keep the recipe a little bit secret. And I'm telling you, this steak with a little A1 sauce on it, cooked on the grill, and the potatoes went over big. Now, not only did they go over big with me, they went over big with the other people who were eating the same thing. Very, very popular meal. So, for everybody who thinks I'm always eating out, because I come on here and I say, well, you know, I went to this restaurant, I went to this restaurant, I went to this restaurant. Well, Monday night, it was steak and potatoes on the grill, and I do have to say so myself, I think they came out very, very good. So, there's a picture of that on Facebook, by the way, if anybody wants to look at it. In my next life, I might be a chef. You never know. Now, let's see here. Do we want to talk a little bit about the Donald Trump situation? You know, I watched it yesterday, and it was pretty much what they said it was going to be. He was taken in through a parking garage. Apparently, there was no mugshot. He was fingerprinted. He pled not guilty in the court. And then that was pretty much it. They said that he could keep his passport. They said he could keep his firearms. They said that the only thing they said that was kind of strange was that he could not talk to anybody about the case, which might be very difficult because so many people in his circle are involved in the case. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but heaven knows, all the television stations covered it yesterday from beginning to end. And you know, I'm starting to think that television does not cover these things the best. Because to be honest with you, you know, do we really need to see a motorcade pulling up to a building, going into a parking garage, and then basically have a camera on a building for 2 hours while the people pretty much say the same things, and then see the motorcade leave? I mean, that's pretty much what we saw yesterday. Now, Trump is indicted by the federal court, 37 felony counts, but I don't know if we needed to see all that yesterday, because I don't know that there was really anything to see. Does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-751-4038. And by the way, what a chilly morning we've got here this morning. 55 degrees. Mostly sunny skies. 55 degrees and mostly sunny skies. So, did anybody find anything interesting about the Trump indictment yesterday? Or did you find anything interesting about the guests that we have had on? Governor Strickland and Judge Joe Brown. Or anybody, by the way, that we've had on in the last week. Sally Jesse Raphael, Phil Donahue. How about Michael Caputo the other day, the son of the late Pat Cooper, coming on and talking about his relationship with his father? That was an interesting interview. A lot of good people. You know, I am a very, very lucky duck when it comes to this field, because I don't know how in the world I get the guests I get. I'm just very, very lucky. But maybe in my next career I'll be a gardener. Go ahead, caller.
What a nice, bright, sunshiny day today is.
Yes, a little chilly, but not too bad.
Well, when you're working, you got to have a little bit of coolness so you don't get a heat stroke.
Well, that's true. We don't want anybody falling over outside.
And I was just going to comment on the... I watched the Trump going to trial and this and that, but I couldn't make heads or tail out of too much stuff because, like you say, you saw a building and this and that, but I know that they say that's what was going to happen anyhow. But I thought maybe he already won the election somehow. I thought maybe I was in some other, polar area or something like that, that I wasn't even on Earth, you know what I mean? That he won the election of all the excitement and stuff they showed on TV. I don't know if that was put on, and I wonder who paid for all that. Did the Trump administration pay for all that?
You know, I don't know. What I found interesting is when he pulled up to the courthouse, the group that was outside to me did not seem to be as big as people expected it to be. Probably about 200 people, would you say, standing over there with flags and things?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good group, you know, that was there, and being that close to him, you know, even though he's not the president, but he was a former president, and he had our tax dollar security, right?
He did.
So I thought he, and then it looked like all the people he's shaking hands and pointing to this person and that person that he already won a election, it looked like to me.
Well, did you get to see the part where after he was in court, he went down to the restaurant and met with people?
I may have seen that, but I didn't. I couldn't follow everything. I was just amazed at all the coverage and the miles that they went in the motorcade, taking him from one place to the other, and the motor motorcycles looked like they was going about around 80 miles, 90 mile an hour up beside, I guess, the cars that he was in, and one of the black so-called security vehicles that he was in. I couldn't make out what was what. And I really didn't. I thought it was amazing that there was no other cars ever close to nothing, you know. I mean, I'm so mumble-bumble, I'm just so amazed at how things went off that you or I wouldn't have never had that attention going to a trial, would we?
No, I don't think we would. Hey, did you get a chance to hear the guest yesterday, Joe Brown or Governor Strickland?
Yeah, I listened to both of those also, yeah.
Now, what did you make of what they had to say?
You know what? I listened, and Joe Brown had the... I was laughing more, not making fun of them, but I'll tell you, he come up with some good phrases, you know. He always comes up with good phrases of different things and stuff, that his comments and stuff, I guess. I think it's a new chapter and a new book that we've never seen in the United States of America, you know, of all the talk and stuff. And can you understand it at all, Scott? I know my wife and I couldn't understand it, so we said, what are they talking about?
Well, what I have come to figure out about this whole thing is that it is historic because no president has ever been indicted by the federal government. And he did get indicted on 37 counts. But what I can't figure out, and I still don't understand, is when they asked him for the documents, why didn't he just give them to them? I don't quite understand, because that's what this all comes down to. When you boil it right down, what is the problem here is that they asked him repeatedly for these documents, and he kept saying he didn't have them, and then come to find out he did have them. And that's really what has gotten him into hot water.
Well, don't think he's in too much hot water. You go to court and come out of court, and you do what you want to do and have all the friends greeting his home down there and have that all set up, and it seems like the... didn't take this or didn't take that, or you'd be under some kind of a watch if it was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, wouldn't it?
Well, you would. You would think.
What terrible could it be, as far as documentation and stuff goes? I know not as far as a murder situation or something like that. It's a different trial. I understand that, all that, but it just seemed like it's handled with kids' gloves. You know, nothing against the Republican or Democrat part of it. I'm not in on any of that because I don't know not much about that at all. But it just seemed like it was a new show coming into the atmosphere of the United States of America.
Well, what will be interesting is to see how the actual trial will go, because it's my understanding that the federal government has a 99% conviction rate. Now, that's pretty tough.
I thought it was 98.
It might be 98. It's 98 or 99. Depends.
It
depends on which show you listen to or which person you listen to, but it's up there.
I found it just, I can't respond on it and say anything, really. I was just amazed at all that took place for one person to go through, and all the attention it got, and it's way, way, in my book, I would say, he'll probably run for President of the United States. He may even get President of the United States, you never know, but I think it's going to be prolonged for so long that this is going to run out, and that's going to run out, and I don't know if whoever will know, but if he becomes president again, well, he'll have those documentations and stuff all in his possession, and he'll present them to the people of the United States, I reckon.
Well, and that's one of the things they were talking about yesterday, was his group would try to push this trial out until after the next election, because if he did get elected again, then he would really not have to face these charges, I guess.
Correct. That's what I mean. The big show, the curtain opened yesterday. Why, you know, we heard that it was a coming attraction, and then the curtain opened yesterday, and the main source, former President Trump, was there, and he acted like a very good celebrity, you know, waving at everybody and everything, and he was not like, I don't know. I would have a worried look on my face, wouldn't you, that you was not really, that he didn't seem like it was going to be any challenge to him at all for whatever the, whatever part of the government, the FBI or whatever title they put on against him, he just seems like he's going to, like I say. Now, I don't know what the other people on the other ticket, the Democrats and stuff, what they think. I'd like to hear all of them speak before during this trial and see what they actually say, that he's going to be, he's already, would he be officially on the ticket to run? If nothing else happens, he can officially run for president of the United States, right?
Yeah, I think right now he is running for president of the United States. Now, he's got some contenders on the Republican side. I don't know how that's all going to go, but I heard yesterday that these indictments seem to be making him popular.
Yeah, that's the point I was getting at. My speech on this, on politics is very, very weak and not very good, but I still got some kind of idea and questions I'd like to see. I want to hear the other side of this, and why couldn't they been like you at a talk show? Why couldn't they kind of veered somebody else in and say, hey, what do you think after that trial and after he come out of it? What's your opinion of it, you know?
Well,
I hope they got something like that going on. That'll make things a little more balanced, I believe.
Well, I wish they would do that, and that's why I did what I did yesterday, because I thought, well, we'll take two people who obviously do not feel the same way, and we'll have one who is doesn't have the greatest feeling for Trump, and then we'll have one who does, and we'll let them talk. And I think we'll learn more from that than just having somebody sit there for 2 hours and repeat the same thing over and over and over and over. You know, yeah. The motorcade arrived. We'll be seeing the motorcade soon. We believe he's being arraigned right now. You know, it was just, I think that repetitive coverage without talking to anybody kind of is boring to people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They was going at it on the news, wasn't they, and showing everything. But I like to see what the bill would be on that. They had a lot of employees, security and everything, you know. I mean, there were a lot of people involved in that situation. You know, I mean, I'd like to see the total of people. It wasn't a handful. It wasn't... it was, I bet you, in the thousands of people involved in that situation yesterday, easily.
Did you see, you know what surprised me? Did you see all the motorcycles there?
That's what I say. Yeah, they was all over. I couldn't understand what streets it looked like. They must have drove 15 miles right in town there, around here, down here, over here, or up here. And there was no other vehicles at all on the street. How they cleared that street like that in Florida, I don't know.
Apparently, they just had to shut down the city of Miami yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I found it pretty interesting, so-called, the way everything's being handled, and you wouldn't I can't even talk about how you'd evaluate that at all. But there'll be more of it around. But maybe you won't hear nothing now for a long time. Do you think that'll be all hushed up, or will that media will continue on this?
Well, I think two things that are going to be interesting is the judge yesterday said he could not talk to anybody about the trial. Now, most of the people who work for him are involved in the trial, so I'm not sure how that's going to go over. So I think we'll probably hear more about that. And then the idea that the prosecutor, who was there yesterday, which is unusual, that he sat behind Trump in the courtroom, said he wanted a speedy trial. So I think we'll hear more about how quick this thing's going to go, because apparently they want it done before the end of the year. Now, if they get it done before the end of the year, that would cause a problem for him to become president again, because the next presidential election's not till next November.
Well, I know sometimes, like I say, I'm not up on top of this in no way at all, but it seems like they can string anything, anytime out for months and months and months and months. This is in our own hometown here. you hear about something, then you don't hear nothing about what the outcome, what happened to this person or this, that. You know, that can go on for a year, and they're on bond and this and that. I don't know. It just seems like no one, well, I'm no one, I guess, put it that way. I'm just speaking for myself. How can you ever keep track of things? Because things change so dramatically every time you hear something, then it changes. Oh, well, this entered into the picture. And that, it might not be over for 2 or 3 years, I wouldn't. And him being, if he gets president, it's over then officially. I don't know if that would be true or not, but I imagine it would be. He'd have everything back in the way it was that he took out, right?
Oh, well, I think that's what would happen, because there's always been this rule that you... See, I don't know. It's kind of interesting, though, because the rule is you can't indict a sitting president. Well, they've already indicted him. So I don't know if they could put him on trial if he was president or not. I really don't know. It's so confusing because it's the first time it's ever happened. But what I cannot figure out for the life of me is when they went to him and said, hey, you've got these documents, could you turn them over? Why didn't he just turn them over? I don't quite understand why he wanted to keep them. That's what I want to know the answer to.
I don't even know if all those boxes and stuff, what would a document consist of? One page of typewritten paper or what? And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of sheets of paper. Imagine a box, or would one box have one sheet of paper? Come on. I mean, they're heavy, looks like they're heavy-duty boxes, and they've been packed in there. And when he was in office, how could you be packing that stuff out of the Washington, D.C., and taking it to Florida without somebody questioning, you know, and don't, looks like you'd have that in some kind of concealment, that you'd have to have some kind of documentation that you, even a president, you'd have to sign your name or something like that to go in and look and then put it back like a big library. You know what I mean?
Well, it's my understanding what happened was when he left, he just took them with him. And when the National Archive, who gets those papers, realized that they were gone, they contacted him and they said, hey, do you have these? Now, at that time, he did return some, but he said, okay, this is all I have. But clearly, he had more. And then for 2 years, they kept saying, do you have these? And he kept saying, no, I don't, and was moving them from room to room. And that's where he got in trouble.
Well, he took a lot of contents from Washington, D.C. to Florida then, and we're talking about security. It's a, wait a minute, what do we got here? Let's get this documentation so we know, I know you're allowed to do this or something. I don't know how you could ever take, I just don't know how you can take box. I mean, a box or something, it would be, you know, unsuspicious. You know, you wouldn't question that. But all those boxes, come on. And we take them out of Washington D.C. and take them to Florida, and nobody knows it. Security, come on! I don't follow that, president or no president, regardless what the who they were. How can you transfer that much stuff out of one place like the Capitol and or the White House and take it to the archives or wherever it takes without being questioned about it and have it documented what you've taken? Okay, you can take this, you can take that. Wait a minute. You're not going to take this one. There's no law. There's a law that says you, that stays right here. But I don't know. I'm talking too much, so I'll get off of here. But your garden's growing, huh?
I think so. I think everything's coming along okay so far. It looks pretty good.
So you're going to be a gardener, and then you're also talking about you're going to be a grill master.
Well. So, I'll tell you, that steak came out very good Monday. Well, the couple steaks that I cooked, and those potatoes went over very well.
Oh, my goodness. And did you have quite a few people there, or just you stayed two?
Well, it was two on Monday, but Sunday I went to a thing, and actually there were a few people at that thing. So, you know, I was cooking all weekend. I felt like a grill cook.
Now, was that type top-of-the-line steak you was grilling? What kind of title did it have on the package?
You know, it was grade A sirloin.
Grade A. What kind of cut was it?
The sirloin that I had?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even...
Was it a thick cut or...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was definitely... You know, it was very good meat.
Well, that was up around $25 or $30 piece of meat you flip-flop on that grill, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it was a big piece of meat. So what I did was is I cut it into two steaks after I... Because no one person could eat that much, especially with the potatoes.
Oh, with your ingredients you put on there, a little A1 sauce and a little of this and a little that, with your touch of grilling out, I imagine it wouldn't be nothing to consume that real quickly.
Well, you know what's funny? Here's what I've noticed in the last 6 months. During the pandemic, when it was going on, I didn't do a whole lot of stuff like this because stores were closed, restaurants were closed, and even though you think you'd be cooking out more at home, I just didn't because a lot of people weren't coming around because it was a weird time, and certain people weren't coming out in public without masks or things like that. So now that the pandemic has pretty well subsided in a pretty good way, it's nice to get back to doing this sort of thing, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this summer, even though it's 55 degrees and dreary as it was yesterday.
Well, it's the warm temperature's going to come and probably stay with us clear till November, I imagine, Scott. But you know what? Did you have the grill marks on your steak and stuff like they do on TV? What's that guy that has 15 grills out there? I missed him on TV. I say I'm not much of a TV guy. I'm always doing something else I like better than watching TV. But he used to have all those grills, and boy, he'd show you how the grill marks would be on it. Did you and flip-flopping them here and doing this and putting different kind of charcoal and flavoring in the grill that, and the moisture and everything? Did you do all that? Do you have a big grill like that?
I have a big grill, but here's the problem. I about had a grease fire cooking these things because I did not... I've only used that grill once in the last 2 years, and I used it on Memorial Day, and I had a little bit of a grease fire on Memorial Day, but I thought, okay, well, that's probably taken care of. So when I fired it up on Monday, the grease fire got a little bigger. You know, I about burnt down the neighborhood, which that would have been interesting.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a correction made on that, get rid of that greaser, or just have the fire department parked right out front of your house just in case, and then you can entice them a little bit. Hey, I got a couple of hamburgers and a hot dog over here for you guys watching, and I'm done. So thanks a lot for keeping me safe from burning down. What would be the formula, or what would be the, how'd you have your potatoes fixed? What did you do? Did you bake potatoes, or did you grill those, or how'd you...
I'll tell you, now this went over very big. What I did was I took the potatoes and I diced them up pretty fine. I diced the potatoes up pretty fine, and then I put them in a tin, you know, one of those tins that you cook in on the grill. So I put the diced potatoes in there, and then I put a stick of butter, a lot of butter, in there. But there were a lot of diced potatoes in there. And then I took the green peppers and the red peppers and the yellow peppers that people love to buy in the store, and I chopped those all up, and I put those in there and mixed that all together. Then I added some herbs and spices. Now, I'm saying that that's my secret recipe, but to be honest with you, I just can't remember what in the world I put in there because I wasn't writing it down. I know there was garlic. I know there was... Oh, what else did I... garlic and a couple other things that I had around. And I mixed...
And all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mixed that all around, and I put that on, and some salt and some pepper, and I put that on the grill in one of those pans, one of those tin pans, and I'll tell you, the potatoes went over as well about as the sirloin steak did.
Yeah, well, it looks like you're running all the restaurants out of Marion, so you're gonna have a title put on you other than the radio show host. Hostess, the mostest, and the coastest to coastest. So, hey, I'll let you go. Thanks for putting up with me. But, yeah, everything I thought about the situation there yesterday was it had to be on the radio and on TV. I had to laugh at some of it. It had a comedy theme to it, and you couldn't help but of all the things that was going on. My goodness gracious, how many motorcycles do you think was involved in there? They must have had they had them going every which way and every and pretty fast down the streets, I thought.
They did.
Okay, Scott, you take care. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. If you have any thoughts on any of this, hey, my cooking experience with the sirloin steaks and the potato recipe, or the Trump incident, we can talk about that. You know, it's not a political thing. The Democrat and Republican of that, I really don't care about. I'm more interested in what in the world did people think of that mess yesterday. Go ahead, caller.
Is Chef Spears there?
He is. I'm glad to hear your voice. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing good. You know, I thought of you this morning. I went through McDonald's, and there was a transit bus parked in the parking lot at McDonald's about 7:30 this morning.
Well, who could blame them? They probably needed a sweet tea, but it wasn't me.
they needed a sweet tea. And
They had to put me on the west side to get me away from all the McDonald's.
Doesn't that dinner that I on the grill, doesn't that sound delicious?
Yeah. I'm thinking about that. So you know how sometimes people, they like peppers, onions, and mushrooms with their steak?
Yes.
Do you like that?
I do. I'm okay with that.
I remember Charlie, he would talk about the morel mushrooms a lot. And he said if you got those seasoned just right, those were just as good as the steak.
Well, that is true. You know, I like steak. I'm a steak person, so, and I don't have it very often, so it was good to have it on Monday night. But to be honest with you, the potatoes, which I didn't know how that was going to turn out, were so good, I was just as interested in the potatoes as the steak on Monday. And everybody else was too. Now, they could have just been being nice. Now, Sunday night, I had a bigger group, but Monday was just one other person. But let's say that person was as thrilled with the potatoes. Maybe they were just happy I was cooking. Who knows?
Well, it's all about the seasoning.
I think it is. And I think the peppers chopped up with the potatoes also gave it a unique flavor.
Oh, sure. What's your favorite cut of steak?
Well, you know, I like anything without the bones. Because like a T-bone, to me, that's pretty much all bone. And you're trying
right.
to pick the meat off of it. I do like a sirloin because I like a well-done steak or a medium well.
Oh, no. You want to eat beef jerky?
I'll tell you, the steak on Monday did not get well because it got to a point where everybody was hungry, and I thought, I keep saying everybody, it was one other person. It's not like I had a group here from the circus or something. One other person was here, so you know, that was not well done. It was pretty close to well done, but not well done. I like a sirloin, probably.
Well, okay, so I guess if I had my druthers, I'm going to have a ribeye. Medium.
Ribeye's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yep. do you cook anything special with your steak?
I like the peppers, onions, and mushrooms.
Yeah,
and I've always just done the what's the regular old white mushroom, whatever those are. Well, sometimes the baby bellas, I'll do those. But one of these days, I aim to try the morels. I've heard a lot of good stuff about the morels.
You should try those. They're a very popular mushroom. Now, do you have anything on the side, like a baked potato or anything?
I like corn on the cob.
Oh, corn on the cob's very good. You know, I thought about doing corn on the cob Monday, but I wanted to do everything on the grill. And I know you can put corn on the cob on the grill. But with the way I do grease fires, I figure that would come out pretty well done as well.
Yeah, so talking about the doneness, I cannot hardly stand to eat steak with my mom. She likes it so rare, and then she'll take a piece of bread and sop the blood up. I mean, I'm not kidding. This woman, a well-trained veterinarian, could bring her steak back to life.
Well, you know, my mother was, I don't know if she still eats them that way, but she liked, I don't know if it was that rare. But she did not like them well done at all. She liked a little juice there. Now, I don't know. Some people like that. It just never was my thing.
Well, and I had to cringe when you said A1 because in my opinion, which doesn't amount to anything, I know that, but you should never have to put A1 on a good steak.
Well, you're right. A steak has a good enough taste, and I season this steak pretty well. And you know what's funny? I never salt or pepper anything, but when I was putting these potatoes together, because I had the steak laid out there right beside the potato concoction, and I had the salt, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to throw a little bit of salt and a little bit of pepper in here. You really couldn't even taste it, but I also salt and peppered the steak a little bit, which I normally don't do, and that came out okay.
So my mom's mom, that was the best and greatest cook that ever lived, in my opinion. And my grandma, she only had three spices that she pretty much ever only used: salt, pepper, and garlic. And she put it on anything, even salad. But so she always took the side of the steak and like rolled it around the seasoning too. You gotta have seasoning on there.
Well, you know, to me, I thought the garlic would be the overpowering spice, but the butter in the potatoes, because I had one of those sticks of butter. So I thought, well, you know what? I have a lot of potatoes here. I'm just going to put the stick of butter in there. And I think that ended up being the overpowering flavoring in the potatoes. But the person I was with told me that's what made it good, that it really gave it a fluffy-ish kind of just a really good taste.
Have you ever watched those YouTube videos? You know I'm like a YouTube-aholic. Have you ever watched the YouTube videos where they show you how to cook steak and they do the butter basting and all that?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what I'm going to do in my next life, because I feel, here's what this summer has taught me, is that I'm either going to be a chef or a gardener or both. That's my next life. Because now I've got the garden out here, and I'm cooking things up on the grill, which I never did a whole lot of. You know, I was always too busy. That was the problem. I was always doing something, it seemed like, every night of the week, doing something every weekend, which I like, and I still do a lot of that. But when I get a free night now, I like to do stuff like this. I have found that I actually like to grill out. I like to do gardening things. So, you know, the things you learn about yourself as time goes on.
Gotta take time to stop and smell the roses, huh, Scott?
Well, at some point you got to. Hey, did you get the chance to hear any of the guests we had on last week? I thought that we had a great lineup.
It's been a hit or miss. I've been trying to tune in, but I know I've told you this before. My phone, it doesn't always cooperate because it's old, like really, really old, and half the time none of my apps or anything work. But as long as I can still text and call out on this thing, I am not.
Well, I don't know if you got to hear it, but I found this fascinating on Friday. I had Sally Jesse Raphael on, which was the first
time. No, I did miss that, and I really used to love her, so I'm sad about that.
Well, I had her on, and it was the first time I've ever had her on as a guest, and I had her on for the full 45 minutes. You can catch that. You can go listen to it on the website, by the way, if you get a chance. And in any event, we get to the end of the interview, and she says, I just want to let you know, you are the most persistent person I've ever met. You should have a show on Sirius Radio. Now, when she said that, well, yeah, it was very, but you know what? When she first said that, I thought, is this a compliment? Until she said the Sirius Radio thing. When she said, you're the most persistent person I've ever met. Because
that's
Sally,
that's kind of how I felt listening to you say that. Like, which way are we going with that?
Right. I thought, well, maybe Sally Jesse is just tired of hearing from me. Maybe that's what's going on. But I'll tell you, the thing last week that took it through the roof for me, and honestly, this is not an ego thing. It's just a surreal thing. When Phil Donahue came on, and he's not doing many interviews now at all at 87 years old. He never really did a whole lot of interviews. And he said, it came out of his mouth, he said, I hope Scott Spears is on the air for a long time. Now, to hear that come out of Phil Donahue's mouth, I thought, well, hey, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I got to imagine for someone in your line of work, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's like Jesus himself come down and anointing you in this field.
Well, we're starting to veer off on that the other side, you know, the conversation. I got to get back to Scott.
Well, thanks for calling.
It was nice to
talk
to you.
Yeah, those people to say those nice things, because again, they don't have to say those nice things, so I certainly do appreciate them. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 58 minutes past the hour here. Having a good time talking to everybody again this morning. We haven't had a chance to do that for a while. Look at this. I'm getting a picture of Mary's garden here. Mary and Jeff's garden. What a garden they've got going on. Well, hopefully everything grows there as well as it's growing in mine. Hopefully, in the next month or so, maybe 6 weeks, I'll have some really good things to report from this garden. That is my fervent hope, that we'll have good things to report from the garden here. Oh, we have so much more to talk about on the other side of the break here. And I went to Baker's Pizza this past weekend. Had one of the best servers that I've had in a long time at any restaurant. Went over to Osceola to a campground. You know, I guess I am staying pretty busy. If I'm not cooking or gardening or interviewing, I'm at campgrounds, I'm at restaurants, I'm all over the place. But always come back to the microphone for this show in the morning, because I enjoy being with you. I'll be back in 15 minutes, don't you dare
You're
go away.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper...
Listen to me. If your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money.